While I'm going to be out of the country for about 5 weeks-ish, while I'm gone, would you guys each want to take a session? Or do you want to just kind of take a break and then start up again? No, I'm serious. No, because see, here's something that's important. It's not just for us to come and learn, you know, and us just to come together and to, but God has given and equipped every one of you with gifts, talents, skills, abilities, and part of the reason even why we have this format is so that you can practice, that you can, you know, start to question, start to experiment a little bit with what God's put in you. And because of that, it's like, it's you might as well try it. You see what I'm saying? And because, see, you are a priesthood of all believers. You are. You are a people that God has, when as soon as He opens your eyes to Him, and as soon as Christ comes into your heart and into your life, from that point, you are one of His that minister before Him and in this world, period. There's nobody that has a position over you. You are all on the same level, doing even, we've been going through spiritual gifts. That's been the series. In that, so you have gifts. To begin to operate in them, to begin to allow the Spirit to lead you in how they would work. So it's a good chance for you to do that. So, and even if it doesn't have to be extensive, and maybe next week where we can talk about what I can do is use that time to give you some tips on preparing yourself, on some things and how you can do that. I know all of you know this is the right thing to do. You just are a little reluctant because maybe you're not confident for whatever reason. That's okay. It's not, when we do this, it's not us anyways. It's the Spirit of God that's in you that does the teaching. It's the Spirit of God that's in you that shows you ahead of time, here's what needs to go forward, here's what He's leading and drawing and instructing. I know nothing about this stuff. The only reason that anything is known to me is because the Spirit of God shows it to me. So I don't own any of it because it's not mine in the first place. So to try to allow Him to just say, okay, God, you know, in a couple of weeks, you know, there's a chance for me to share something with people. What would you have to share with them? And then allow Him to take you through the Word, to show you something in times in prayer. And then when you get together, be surprised at what He ends up doing with that. So think about it between now and next week. And next week, don't everybody not come. Don't everybody not come. Everybody come. But do come, but think about it too. Because see, I want you to take confidence. See, all these gifts that we've been talking about as well, they're given by God. God blesses you to make you a blessing. But you still have the operation of your free will where you need to exercise that. So you don't have to climb Mount Everest on the first day. You know, just start with a little baby hill, but do start. So think about it between now and next week. But at this point, it would be really, really cool, I think, because this is not my thing at all. This is whatever God is doing, that's His thing. So think about it. I can already think of several of you that I can think all of you should be. You know, maybe you guys want to team up on a day or something like that. But we'll have a sign up next week for sometime during the time. And pick a day, you know, and come encourage each other. So, okay?
You know, there's so many people who are not here.
Yeah.
Not many people who are not here.
And if you have some questions about stuff too, we've already posted a lot of things on the site where if you want to go back through some stuff, if you want to reference some things, that's part of why we do it like this, so that you can, like, okay, how does this work, or what should I remember from something else? Oh, okay. You just go back through it on your own. And but all of you, I have to say it again and again, all of you have been blessed by God with so much. And but we've been conditioned before we even started coming here to the way that you're conditioned with the church is the organization of the church, I need to clarify it, is to come, sit down, soak up some information, go home, maybe with your friends, evaluate a little bit. Oh, what'd you think about that? Well, I liked it or I didn't like it. But then that's it. That's the extent of it. And Andrew, one of Andrew's points when we did a Q&A, the first one we did, was he said, how do I make this practical? You asked for it. How do you make it? No. How do you make this practical? Yeah. All of this stuff has to be practical. And this is not detached from, this is part of who you are. So as we go through these things, we're working to make this as practical and as applicable to your life as possible. So, and I just go wherever God sends me. So he's sending me out for some time because it's probably in part because he would rather not you look to me for stuff. He'd rather you look to him and allow each other also to be instruments of that. So, because it's not about people, personalities. Anytime, even in the New Testament where there was an issue of people looking to personalities, they kept having to bring people back and say, look, you know, was Paul crucified for you? Was Apollos crucified for you? No. You know, who are they? They're just messengers. They're just servants. It's Jesus. You always got to be looking to him. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. So we have to keep that focus of like, it's back to Christ. If he uses anybody to encourage you or strengthen you, praise God, that person was just doing their service, what God told them to do. But it's not about them. You know, he could have used anybody else. God uses donkeys in the Bible. So it's not like you take... You know, he can use anything. Yeah. So he can use anything and he can use anyone. The key is to be available and to submit yourself to him. So, okay. So next week, that would be the ideal. And I know some of you, he's going to even put it on your heart very strongly between now and next week that you need to. Just allow him to, because it'll be very fun for you. You'll get kind of excited about the way that he does show you things. Okay, so a little bit of housekeeping there. excuse me. Okay, we are in part 4 of spiritual gifts. Now we've done the very first 3. We kind of did a quick setup, and then we've gone through different sets, kind of how they're a little bit segmented in scriptures. But to say that all of the gifts that are in the body of Christ, they're overlapping, they're intertwined. It's not like you can isolate stuff and say, okay, this is over here and this is over there. Just like the systems of the body internally are all interdependent, are all interconnected. So when we do segment things out a little bit, it's for the sake of maybe clarifying. But, you know, the circulatory system can't, and the respiratory system require each other to be able to work. You know, if the circulatory system doesn't work, respiratory system's shutting down. If the other one's not working, the other one's not shutting down. So they require each other. So you can talk about them interdependent a little bit, but you always have to bring it back into the context of the body. So God uses his examples, natural parallels, very, very specifically because he wants you to be able to understand the spiritual dimension. So he gives you natural examples so you can understand spiritual realities. Does that help? So he puts things all around us like that. So your body, nature. I think part of why we have the body, the physical body we have, is so you will be walking around every single day for the entire time that you're here with a natural representation of what the kingdom is. So every time you see yourself or somebody else, you're like, wait, there's an analogy of what the kingdom of God is like. You're in the spiritual kingdom. So, a little bit of a recap. Priesthood of all believers, all of you are priests. But in the priesthood of all believers, everybody doesn't do the same thing. So we've been given different assignments, different where God would call, give you a heart, give you compassion for something specific. I was talking with somebody just on this last trip, and to some of the conflict areas, and this person just has a real burden for children, very, very strong burden for children, and it manifests in a very specific way. I don't have the same thing. I care about kids, but I don't have that burden. I don't have the heart for the same thing that that person does. Mine is in something else. So, but God has given both of us something because they're complementary. So rather than me try to sway somebody to, okay, you need to do what I'm doing, because no, let the heart and the burden and the individuality of the way God made you be manifest by the Spirit of God and fulfill that direction and that calling, rather than trying to conform to what the world says, here's you, fit into this box. And because there's a difference between the oneness of the world is conformity. The oneness of Christ is a work of the Spirit, where everybody's an individual, lives out as an individual their part and their place in the body, and it comes back into one. So very, very different. Now, with the gifts that we talked about before, we distinguished between some things are inbuilt natural gifts that everybody has. So you're born with certain gifts, and we discussed how there is an empowering that God does with natural gifts that you have when they're turned over to Him. Now, there's also, whatever gifts you have can be empowered by spiritual reality. God empowers those gifts. Demons also empower gifts. So you will see people in the world, many times when they turn themselves over to demonic forces and demonic powers, they have an empowering of their gifts. Look in the music industry. Very good example. I mean, I spent some time with the music industry. I mean, it's just, there is an empowering of the gifts that they have but it's for what purpose? So, you know, there are people, so somebody will be a good guitarist, all of a sudden they become a fantastic, phenomenal guitarist, and there's a draw and there's a pull with their music. Somebody that's not redeemed, doesn't have the Spirit of God living inside of them, they're drawn to that, then they can't see through it, and why? So, but likewise, the original is the Spirit of God, which empowers, and the power that He puts in trumps all of it. So His power is above. So every time you see a clash between the powers of the enemy and the power of God always wins. But there is power. There's power encounters going on all the time in the world that we live in. So, but you have inbuilt gifts, natural, that are empowered, that get empowered. And then we also have new gifts, things that then, you know, will come along with you along the way as you're walking out with Christ. And it's like, whoa, wait, where did that come from? So that's kind of what we're getting into a little bit tonight, is the, oh wow, where did that come from? Now, none of this stuff is spooky. See, people have made it spooky, but it's really not. You know, and a lot of the reason why they've made it spooky is because most of the buildings that call themselves churches, they're just buildings. Church is who you are. This is church right here. So we've already proved that scripturally. But the church is who you are, not where you go. But most of the buildings, the physical organizations of the church, in order for them to continue to prop themselves up and to pay off the building note that they've taken and to keep people coming, they have to do something to try to get people to show up. So many times they'll have gimmicks or programs, but there's also a big chasing after something supernatural, some either miracles or some kind of signs, or prophetic words is a big one, or whatever. But for the purpose of to get, you know, something dramatic so a crowd will come, because nothing draws a crowd like a crowd. So if you have, you know, things popping up and happening, then they're able to, like, okay, now Okay, everybody come next Sunday because it'll be even bigger and better. And so it's this show that has to be continued. We're going to go through 1 Corinthians 12. But a little context about this chapter. When Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, he's writing to a church that was chasing after spiritual gifts, but they were missing the giver of those gifts. So they were full of abuses. So there's all kinds of things that were going on there that were not right, that were not God. And so he's trying to bring correction to them so they can understand, all right, you need to understand how this stuff works a little bit. And he's bringing correction into that. Okay, let's start at just verse 1, chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? If now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him, and if they were all one member, where were the body? And now are they many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again to the head, to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Okay. Excuse me. Right. Going back to verse 1 where he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. The reason he says that is because they were ignorant. So they were ignorant about the operation of these. They were practicing something that was wrong, out of place, out of line, into the whole superstar in the church. They were pushing that. And he's like, look, you're ignorant. And I don't want you to be ignorant, so I'm going to write you about this. And I walk around to many sometimes churches today, and I hear stories, things come back to me, and it's like, it's dangerous. People are being hurt. So people's lives are being shipwrecked. They're packing their bags and moving off to some place, or they're selling off their business, or they're doing whatever, and God is not in it. Because of the operation of the gifts, you need to... Every person walks in connection with the Spirit of God that's been activated by Him. Jesus said, "My sheep know My voice, they will not follow another," John chapter 10. So in any gift that you would ever see, any operation you would ever see, allow for the Spirit of God to clarify, where is this coming from? Because again, with the Spirit of God, the devil is a counterfeit. That's what he does. He counterfeits. He's a liar. He's the father of all lies. So his thing is deception. So where you have the authentic and the real, you will also see the counterfeit of the same thing. So his thing is to make something, and God allows it, because God allows for strong delusion, because for people that don't love the truth, that would embrace a lie, he allows them to have a strong delusion so that they believe it. But those with a heart for truth, God will show you and clarify. So, now with this, verse 3, that says that, verse 4, sorry, that there are diversities of gifts but the same Spirit. Back to what we started off with. Every single person, if you allow God to manifest Himself in you, you will be absolutely unique. There may be some people that will do something similar, but you will be unique in the operation of what it is that God does with you and calls you to. So Mother Teresa, beautiful, beautiful, wonderful woman, but you're not her. And the way that God manifests Himself through her life will be different than the way that He would manifest Himself through your life if you turn yourself over to Him. So part of the adventure is that working itself out in you as you allow for Him to do that. And when you start down that process, there will be people that will be opposed to you doing that, because they don't want you to be free. They don't want you to operate in that, because it's dangerous to the system of the world. It's dangerous to their own line that they've already gone on, because it shows the path they've chosen. It reveals that they've already sold themselves down a certain way. So how can you do something when they haven't done something? Well, because you didn't sell out, but they did. So when you refuse to sell out and you choose to go God's way, you allow for Him to manifest Himself in and through you. So there's a diversity that takes place, though, within the body. But what you look for, so don't condemn people for the differentiation in operations. What we do look for, however, is the fruit. Because Jesus said, Luke 6:43, here, let me flip back to this. Luke chapter 6, verse 43, said, "For a good tree bringeth forth good fruit, a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bushes gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure in his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speak." Okay, and then Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22 says, "Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." So, these are the manifestations of the Spirit of God. So we talked about how John the Baptist and Jesus came two completely different ways. But both of them, the fruit of the Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit was there in their lives. One of them came very brash and was out there eating locusts, eating honey, you know, just seemed like a wild man. And then Jesus coming, eating, drinking, hanging out with hookers. And both of them, they're like, they had a problem with. But in the end, you know, John was, by Jesus' testimony of women born up to that time, there was none greater than John, and Jesus is the Son of God. So, the manifestation of the way the Spirit of God will work in you and through you. You like that, don't you?
Yeah.
The manifestation of the way that the Spirit of God will work in you and through you will be the manifestation of the way that the Spirit of God will work in you and through you. Allow Him to do that. Now, what happens too when you start walking this out, if you have areas there's like struggles for you, whatever, all of us do, because you're born into a fleshly body that scriptures tell us give it no place. So in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. That's what Paul said. So of course it's there. So realize that, just don't give it place. And if the Spirit of God shows you something specifically, just work with Him on that. So He says, look, for you, you know, don't drink because you got a real issue with it, or it's a bondage for you, or for you, you know, you got to put this stuff away. Allow Him to show you that, because you're walking this thing out with Him. But let Him show you that. Some things are just general. Scriptures are very clear about it. When you see it, just go with it. Say, all right, God, this is in Your Word. I always put it back to the Father. I'm like, Lord, this is in Your Word. You tell me I need to do this. I have no power in and of myself to do this. I yield to Your Holy Spirit. You make this happen in me. And as you walk it out, stuff just falls away. So things that were struggles for me 2 years ago are not. You know, and I have bigger challenges. But it's okay. They're cool. I mean, I was even driving over today. I was thinking about just something that's going through. It's like 2 years ago, I would have melted because of that stuff. Now it's like, it's an annoyance. But it's not so bad. So God makes you stronger because you grow up in the Spirit. That's why, too, it's good, you know, start now. Don't put off tomorrow what you could do today, because He's desiring to develop you and to train you up now. So, with every single one of you, even in this room, the way God will work with you will be different. So allow the Spirit of God to do that in you. And when He does that in you, just embrace it. Embrace the individuality that He's given you. And don't let other people shout you down for the way, because it's not Him. What the world does when it does oneness is everybody put on the same tie, same suit, show up in the same office, sit in the same cubicles. That's oneness to the world. Every aspect of your individuality to be stripped from you, to conform so you can control, and then you know, they sell you a side image of somebody else. Okay, here's a rebellious rock star, and he's a conformist too. He just conforms in a different way, because he's told what to wear, what to drink, all that stuff, where to go, what parties to be at, and they're controlled. So allow God to lead and direct you. Now, with the operation of gifts, with these gifts specifically, it says that verse 5, that there are differences of administration but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but it's the same God which worketh all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every to profit with all. Okay, there's diversity of operations, but it's the same God that worketh all. Now, God works the gifts. People don't work the gifts, God does. So, big difference. Because, for example, with these ones, if God is the one that's working them, how can I call for a healing meeting and say, okay, we're going to have a healing meeting next Friday, if God's not doing it? You see what I'm saying? So, like, I can't call for a healing crusade if God is the one working that gift, and the gifts operate as the Spirit wills, then I can't call for something. I can preach the gospel. The gifts follow the preaching of the gospel. But I can't focus on the gifts and sell people the gifts in order to get a crowd. Do you see the difference? So, there is a difference of administration, but it's the same God. God is the one that administers these. He's the one that gives them out. But He gives each person according to His plan and purpose. So with each of you, as you're given something different by the Father, what He gives you, you'll also find fulfillment, joy in exercising those. So you'll be in line with how you're wired. So we talked a little bit about with the natural gifts that people have, also with certain spiritual gifts and the way that they operate, it'll fall in line with your personality, with your it will fit with you. So sometimes people will envy, or they'll look at somebody else like, oh gosh, I wish I was used like Sister so and so, or boy, that person has this powerful prophetic gift, and so they want something else. But let God develop the gift that He's given you, the gifts plural that He's given you, because that will go in line. And you don't know, because sometimes too, some stuff will just come that you weren't planning down the line. But don't fake it, because there's way too much of that. So people trying to have healing meetings, they put all the crippled people in the back, and then they just call for some people with headaches and push them over. It's like, they're okay. Yeah, they hurt their leg now. But but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So these gifts are given couple notes. God gives to everyone as He chooses, so God decides what everybody gets. And He also gives for the benefit of the entire body of Christ, globally and continually. Now, I'll clarify that. So, for example, there is right now, some of this stuff that I have right here is a byproduct of a pastor who I know in another country who shared some stuff with me. You are benefiting from that this day, this evening, a few years later in Colombo, Sri Lanka. Someone else will check this on the website in Ontario, Canada, and listen to this very... So it carries on. Gifts and their operations, there's Yonggi Cho. When he was who started the church in Korea, the big, big massive church, it was one person that, came back that God used, and even when God healed him. So that healing that took place in him restored his health so that he was able to do that. But it carries over for the benefit of God's body globally. So you see, and continually. So the works of what's come before benefit us today. So even the operation of the Spirit, and even with things that might seem like very, very small occurrences, so how does this, a word of knowledge or wisdom that would have come to somebody about, oh, you need to, God is saying this is what's coming up, or here's where you need to go, or this... But then you see the carry-on, if you just trace that back a little ways, of how this person went to here, and while they're on the plane, they talked to such and such person, and then that person ended up, going to this place and giving this here and doing this, and then 1,000 people were saved from Ebola. I mean, it's just like, you see those links and those interconnections. So, that's also why God operates the gifts. Because if you operated them, or if I operated them, one, we'd sell them. We'd sell them, we'd market them, and he hates that. That goes on today, he hates that. And people they're not really selling anything. It's a gimmick. Or sometimes there are demonic operations again, like we talked about, that back that stuff, but it's not the true Spirit of God. So one, we'd sell it, or two, we would operate in our own understanding with those gifts, and we'd miss the point. So where God would, so we would try to start this little thing over here in this, our little evangelical whatever over here, and God's like, no, that gift is to operate when you travel through China or Malaysia or the States or England, or it's something that He would use while you're out and about. So the gifts work as the Spirit wills. So, with them, when He gives them to you, great, you have them. But they operate when He turns them on and He turns them off. So I've got several things with myself that God has turned on in the past, and for a season then, just to prove a point to me, He shut them completely off. I was serious. Like, there was a time, and I thought there was something wrong with me. You know, because I was like, okay, God, you know, I was walking in connection and all that. I'm like, where did this go? So, I mean, like, I remember just some times where I was in some different countries, like Indonesia, just powerful manifestations of the Spirit with ministry. But then, all of a sudden, you know, He just shut it off. Just to show me, look, it's not yours, it's mine. And I'm the one that works it as I will. All you do is be in position where you're available and you can be used by me, and then take confidence when the Spirit moves you to operate in that. That's me. And then do it, and then always point people back to me because it was me that did it in the first place. And if you forget that, I can shut it off again. So it's Him that does it. So let's talk about these gifts a little bit, shall we? These are kind of more the flashy stuff. So these are the things that, you know, when their lives start coming apart and they start running around to churches looking for something to happen, they're usually looking for this stuff. They're looking for a healing or a word from God or so that's what they're looking for. So these gifts that are talked about here, verse 8 says, "For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will." Okay, when the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the empowering that comes from God, which scriptures talk about, where Jesus said, look, stay in Jerusalem until you get this. When you've received that empowering, which is kind of like, you're filled with the Spirit when you receive Christ Jesus. But the baptism of the Spirit is like the breaking of the dam. You know, like it's like you're filled with it, but the baptism of the Spirit is like the dam breaks open and now it's just flowing out of you. When it flows out of you like that, that's that rivers of living water that flow from your belly that Jesus talked about. There's many, many times what you'll see with the empowering is people will get one or more of these kind of gifts that come with it. And it'll surprise you sometimes the first time, because like, oh, you might be in a room talking to somebody, all of a sudden you just know things about their life and you didn't know before. Or, you know, God will really, really burden you just to pray for somebody, you know. And so they'll be sitting next to me like, gosh, I've had this just, you know, I've had these migraines for the last 5 years, or, you know, my leg, I just, you know, broke my ankle, or what. And it's like, and God's Spirit will just impress you. His Spirit that's in you will be like, pray for this person. And you're like, no. And He's like, yes. But it still requires the operation of your free will. So, and it kills me in times in the past where I've not done something when the Spirit of God prompted me to do it, but He was pushing me to do it and I chose not to. And then afterwards I'm like, gosh, I missed that chance because God wanted to do something. But He respects the free will that you have to operate in that. But when you do that, you know, so He'll give you, He'll encourage you to do that. You'll go and you'll pray for somebody, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're healed. And it's like, whoa, how did that happen? Well, because God's Spirit worked through you, a human vessel, manifesting in the reality that we live in, because spirits work through us. God works through us, and demonic powers work through those that are sold out to the world. But all spirits are working through human vessels to accomplish their purpose in the earth. God's the original, and demonic forces are counterfeits. Okay.
If you don't listen to and act on what God is saying, yeah, Does he pay this teacher? I'm not telling you
anything. Good question. I mean, does God? I've wondered about that sometimes, because, you know, like, for example, sometimes maybe God will have told somebody, look, I want you to go to this city, and then they don't. Well, and then they're praying and asking, okay, God, what's your will for my life? Well, he told you. So it's kind of like, why would he tell you something else when you're not in place to hear the next instruction anyways? So there is, but then too, there's human error that we make, and there's all this stuff. I think wherever it is that you're at, just come clean with him, period. And just be like, God, I messed up, I screwed up, sorry. Right now where I'm at, you know, just restore me, and I just want to go with whatever you say right now, period. And just make it a deliberate desire, a deliberate intention, whatever it is that he impresses you to do, if he's showing it to you in the Word, if he's encouraging you by his Spirit to do it, just do it and leave the consequences in his hands. And just start taking some boldness in that. So, because, and you know what? Yeah, sometimes we missed it. But even when I screw up, and I do screw up, when I screw up, I'm like, God, I screwed up, believing completely that I was doing the right thing and doing what you told me to. So even there, it's like I messed up trying to do what it was that I believed that you were leading and guiding me into. So I'm off the hook if my heart is clean before him. And you know that. You know if your heart is right before him when you're walking in that. Okay. These ones, you can kind of block these ones off into three sets of three. So, gifts of revelation, gifts of speech, and where's this last one? And then kind of like power. So you see like power gifts in operation. Okay. So here we go. Revelation, speech, and power. So gifts of revelation is word of wisdom, knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Gifts of speech, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, gifts of power, healings, working of miracles, and then faith or special faith. All right. Within these, again, there's some overlap with like different systems of the body where you would see like, okay, for example, with tongues. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, you'll see a manifestation of, an external manifestation will be like people will speak in tongues. But that's different from the gift. You see? Because the gift is different in operation than like a manifestation. Okay. When somebody receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and many times that's like an accompanying sign that is there. But with that sign, there's a difference from, okay, like, I'll jump ahead a little bit, I'll just do tongues here. Tongues is a supernatural ability of the Holy Spirit to give certain people to speak in known languages they have not learned for the purpose of evangelism, exhortation, praising God in some special cases, and languages being spoken require interpretation to accomplish this purpose. Now, the difference between something like, so when you see the first time where you see the early church operating, where you see like the baptism of the Spirit coming on the church, and all of a sudden everybody's like, wow, we hear God praising, we hear them praising God in this unknown, in these languages, our languages. So there are people from all over the world that were there. The Spirit of God came on them, and they're like, wait, how do they know Aramaic? Or how do they know, you know, I just came from, you know, France. You know, somebody's praising God in French. And so they were hearing them praise God in their own language. That was a manifestation by among those people for the Spirit of God coming upon them. So that was just a sign. The gift is different in the operation in that this is something that's kind of has this enduring quality that's given to a person, operates as the Spirit wills. But it differs from our personal prayer language in that it's given for common good. Let's see here. Tongues, okay. Gift characteristics may or may not be a known language. So you have the day of Pentecost, but then you have, let's see, this one's kind of more for like corporate gatherings.
This why versus, exactly is it giving like a medium of tongues? It just doesn't make sense because you're speaking the language nobody else understands.
Yeah, true. Because... yeah, so there's also the need for the interpretation as well. With the gift of tongues, one of the things about it is, we talked about the bat phone. You remember that time? Where, like, do you remember, like, where there was, have you ever seen the old Batman shows where there was, like, he had, like, that red phone, you know, where it was, like, the commissioner had a direct link, you know, to Batman's office?
The relevance being.
No, the relevance being, it's kind of like that. In that there's no with God, in that what happens is, see, we pray with our own understanding, we pray with that, but there's times when even with our own understanding, like, I don't know how to pray. So for example, there may be just the world is just crashing down on me and I can't see what's all going on. I can't see what's, so even with my own understanding, if I was to pray, Lord, would you please fix my car? You know, whatever. But really what's going on is in the dimension of spirit, there are witchcraft and spells and other things that are going on. And so when somebody starts praying in spirit or in tongues, what happens is now the Spirit of God that lives inside of you, that knows everything that's going on, is now interceding with the Father through your bat phone, through your special link language. Yeah, which now, and so then there's this link and there's this connection that takes place where with groans and with that you with your natural mind you can't even express, but he knows what's going on. And so with a corporate setting when something like that's practiced, what ends up happening is that will be for the sake of the body, and usually it'll be accompanied by an interpretation in that somebody else will be like, okay, this is what this is. So there's an accompaniment as well. If there's tongues operating in a corporate setting, then there needs to be an interpretation as well. And you wait for that. God will give that to somebody. But because it's for the edification of all, it's for the common good of all, and if you don't see that operation, then it's like, okay, what was that all about? Because, again, yeah, it's like, okay, why would that be there? Well, because there's a lot of stuff going on that I don't understand.
But it's strange because my cousin sister has it.
Yeah.
When she prays, she goes into, like, she can go into your house and tell you what the house looks like. So is that possible?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. No. Sometimes too, some of these things, like she could explain.
No, I'm praying. Yeah. And there's somebody else, who's always given, okay, to pray while she's sick.
Yeah.
And if she's praying for you, she will actually tell you what your house looks like. So I was wondering if that's actually.
Yeah, well, because again, see, you have the ability in spirit to exist in far more than the natural vessel that you see with your three-dimensional eyes, the limitations of your own understanding. See, the world, what happens in the base reality of the world, when the world seeks to continuously cut you off from spirit, and so to keep you locked into your five senses, what you can taste, touch, smell, hear, feel, like, that's it. They don't want you to have anything else past that. When you start, when God sets you free and he opens up and the Spirit of God starts coming alive in you, what happens is now those you start coming into like this more of like what you were really designed to be in the first place. So with that, yeah, there's the ability to operate. The spirit, the scriptures tell us that we're seated in heavenly places. Right now, you exist there. How can you be in two places at once? Well, in the limited reality that the world knows, you can't, because all you can know is right here, right now. But in spirit, yes, and you exist in more than just that. So what happens, and again, when you tap into God, who is omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, so all-knowing, everywhere, all-powerful, then all of a sudden you're in Him. And so He knows exactly what your house looks like. So He can show that to somebody if He wants to. But usually...
There's also an example of some people, you know, they get a name of, you know, just while they're praying, they get a name of a person. And that person could be across the world, but still, this person is, you know, intercessory prayers going on with this person living in Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
And this person could be in the U.S. or, I don't know, anywhere. And the Lord uses this kind of intercessory prayer people so that that person would not fall into whatever they are, you know, spiritually. You know, so there is a lot of that as well. So it's, you know, it's...
Oh, yeah. There's so many cases of that. You know, there's so many cases of people praying for you and you for them as you're linked up with the Spirit. And you don't know. Yeah, you don't know what's going on. But the Spirit of God's working in you. So with these gifts, they're working because the Spirit desires to do something. And He uses you for that purpose. So, yeah, some of them, like tongues, there needs to be an accompaniment. If that operates in a corporate setting, there needs to be an interpretation. Because otherwise, what the heck was that all about? So since we're on doing speech here, so like prophecy. Okay, this is the one everybody loves. Because they're like, oh yeah, you know, they want... So, okay, well, let me close out this interpretation. Interpretation is the supernatural ability of the Holy Spirit to give certain people to interpret the words that have been spoken as special revelation from God, but are not understood by the listeners. This gift serves as an important communication link between God and His church. So that's interpretation of tongues. Okay? Prophecy. The supernatural ability of the Holy Ghost gives to certain people to communicate a direct message from God. The purpose of prophecy includes predicting, directing, revealing, admonishing, challenging, comforting, exhorting, chastening, and rebuking the listener. So, some characteristics. It's always under the control of the person speaking it. So, for example, somebody would just not blah. You know? I mean, some people are like that, but it's not. That's not the way that it works. The scriptures tell us that the spirit of prophecy is subject to the prophet. So when somebody has that, they still make a decision and operation in it. But it can also come in various different ways. So, you know, sometimes it's spoken, sometimes people just get a strong sense of something, they begin to speak, and then like it starts coming as they're going. Different forms, oracles, exhortations, songs, in prayer when people are praying, revelation can come in teaching, you know, as there's people that are prophetic teachers. You know, so that's where, again, sometimes you see the intermingling of these gifts. So somebody will have a very strong gift as a teacher, but there'll also be prophecy intermingled, interwoven with that gift. So so with that, and any time that you have prophecy in operation, it should be judged. So subject to judgment, things should be considered whether it bears witness to those listening, especially others with prophetic ministries that, or people that have been given gifts in those areas, they should test it as well. So, prophecy generated from demonic activities is also possible, but rare in church settings, and no true believer pursuing spiritual gifts is capable of giving this kind of prophecy. So when you will see, there's always the counterfeit as well. A few things about this one. I mean, a classic example that we already had here for the object lesson was when that thing was sent around here. So here's a prophecy given out and been legitimized, but when you matched it up with the Word of God, when you matched it up with a lot of other things, it didn't fit. So you test it. Something comes forward as a word. It's like, wait, no, this is not right, and here's why. Then you discount it. So, and look at the fruit of it. What's the byproduct of it? So this again, so God puts protectional gifts as well in the body of Christ for the sake of doing that. So that's like, so that you don't go sell your house, give everything to the building fund, and I'm not kidding. This stuff goes on, yeah, and live on the road. And you know what? They will walk right by you after you do that. Once they've sucked you dry, they will be happy to just walk by you. You've seen that. You've seen that happen time and again.
Keep
going. Yeah.
It's just
reminds me of
this.
Yeah. So I mean, even this guy's starting to work in his gifts. So.
So I wasn't talking nonsense. Talking in tongues.
Okay. Different kind of tongues. Okay. All right. We'll keep going. Gifts of revelation. So,
should we like?
Yeah.
Okay. If somebody prophesies something and it doesn't match up, it doesn't happen or whatever, we shouldn't condemn that person, right?
No, but okay.
That person gave like a wrong message.
Here's something. Okay, with somebody that would give you a word, what you do is you test it. Because see, here the Spirit of Truth lives inside of you. So, for example, when Paul was going to Jerusalem and Agabus came down and he said, look, when you go over there, they're going to... And he did a whole dramatic presentation too. He tied up his hands and his feet and all this. And he said, in the same way, you know, they're going to tie you up when you get to Jerusalem. And Paul's like, I know. Yeah. And he's like, I know. So it witnessed with him that, and he's like, yeah, in fact, in every city, I know this is going to happen to me, so this is not new. But the Spirit of Truth that lives inside of you will witness and tell you and confirm to you what it is that somebody else... So it'll be like, okay, I'll give you an example.
If somebody gives you like a false prophecy, it's not that person's fault, right?
Well, see, sometimes too, you have to be careful, because there's people that, you know, that it might have been their lunch speaking to them. I mean, it's like, so when people give you something, if it doesn't witness in your spirit, so if it doesn't resonate with the Spirit of Truth living inside of you, what you can do with that is just put it on the shelf. So you're like, okay, I'm not sure about that. It sounds kind of strange, it sounds kind of funny. I'm not really sure about, but I don't really know about this person either. So what I'll do, maybe I'll write this thing down and I'll put it away somewhere. Because if it's going to happen, it'll happen. You know, I don't need to reroute my life or anything. But if it is something that resonates, and then you can take some assurance, like, okay, this is the way God's leading and guiding me. But as far as people go, you know, sometimes I'll be careful, because some people just are out of line. You know, some people are not walking in connection with the head. Maybe God used them in something 10 years ago and they still stuck on that experience. But they've gotten sucked into some system where they're off, they're not in connection with the head. Paul even wrote, when he wrote, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. The point being, as soon as I stop following Christ, you stop following me. You follow Jesus for yourself. And if you're going to look to anybody, it's just because you're going in the same direction. But you don't look to that person, you're looking to Christ. And if that person's out of line, leave them. You know, you're going in a direction. Pray for them. Pray that they would come back, that God would orchestrate the situation so they can come back. But keep moving with what God is doing. But as far as people that would give you crazy words and all that stuff, I'm like, no, that's not what God said to me. So like some guy will come up to you and be like, hey, God told me you're my wife. And it's like, well, he didn't say that to me. No, but I'm serious, especially with our group, kind of with our age group, that stuff happens all the time.
Really?
All the time, yeah. I would be a Mormon right now if I followed that stuff. No, because... No. Because, all right, here's a rule of thumb with that one. When God tells Cornelius, he also tells Peter. So when God tells one person, He'll tell the other person as well. So if God doesn't tell you, you know, then... So it's like, look, God didn't say nothing to me. So...
It's also just best to, like, you deal with God yourself.
Yeah.
You don't have to depend on someone else to give you. Yeah. It's like, okay, this is your dream. When that's something between you and God, and you're thinking about it, so He's going to reveal it to you anyway, regardless.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes what happens with these gifts is that God uses them to encourage you, to strengthen you, to help empower you in something you're already doing. So you're walking your life out with the Father, and now these gifts are there in the body, and He'll find a way to get them to you and to operate with them to you so that you're like, okay, I am going forward the right way. I wasn't quite sure about this. I remember in my own life, there was a time where somebody gave me a word, and I was like, whoa, I don't know about this one. And God told me, go to church, go to this church 2 days later, this other church, completely different setting, completely different people, nobody there from the same place. And as I was sitting there, the person that was ministering walked down from the front, came, stood right in front of me while they were preaching, and said, you came here tonight expecting to hear from God, didn't you? I was like, expecting to hear from God, didn't you? I was like, yeah, I did actually. But it was because God told me to go there. So He wanted to confirm to me. So He went out of His way to confirm something to me that I needed to hear from Him, because that was just, that was me. I'm a measure twice, cut once kind of guy. So before I would, you know, go over and beyond, I wanted to make sure it was Him. So He's like, all right, I understand, because I wired you like that. Again, different people made different ways. I'm not the type that just, woo, I'll go. No, I wanted to. So He's like, I will work with you in that line. So is back to your thing, though. With people, do be careful. Because, and if you know, or if the Spirit of God inside of you says, wait a second, any hesitation, put it on the shelf and take a step away. But if He does resonate that in your heart, in your spirit, embrace it, go forward with it. And don't worry about it. You know, because again, the thing about like people getting a word or something like that would be, it's all done already. We're just living out a script and a movie that's already played. We're here. You still operate in free will. And this is part of the mystery of our whole existence. Is that we're still here, we still have free will, but yet God knows the whole thing anyways. Nothing's going to surprise Him. So when somebody operates in something like a prophetic gift, basically what they're doing is like they're just somebody that has seen, like they've seen like one clip ahead in the movie, the trailer. So they're just, you know, giving you some insights from the trailer of your life of what's going to happen. So it's not a big deal, it's just you're the one living out the movie. So, it's not a spooky thing. Is it?
I said guest
appearance. Guest appearance. Okay. Revelation. Gifts of revelation. I'm just going to go through these relatively quick. So, gift of wisdom, supernatural ability by the Holy Spirit, given at certain times to speak divinely inspired words about a given issue or circumstance for the purpose of providing insight, interpretation, counsel, and guidance. Reveals the mind of God concerning a specific life situation and rightly applies appropriate knowledge to it. Can be found in inspired preaching, teaching, and words of personal revelation. So, some characteristics: must be spoken to be valid. It is temporary in the speaker. It always comes as a direct revelation and involves public and private revelation. Okay? Gift of knowledge. So we'll post this too so you can go back through. This gift of knowledge, a supernatural ability of the Holy Spirit given certain people to receive and share specific knowledge about a given issue or circumstance for the purpose of providing understanding, counsel, confirmation or conviction, reveals God's understanding about a particular life situation, can be found in inspired preaching, teaching, and words of personal revelation. So it's communicated knowledge, temporary ability, product of divine revelation. It differs from wisdom in that knowledge tells you who, what, why, when, where. But wisdom explains why to, where to, when to, how to, and what to do in a given circumstance. So one is the understanding, another one would be application. Okay? What is that? So, okay, knowledge tells us what, who, when, why, where. Wisdom explains why to, where to, when to, how to, and what to do. So, you know, Solomon was somebody that had knowledge and understanding. So he knew what to do, he also knew how to do it. Or he knew what, but he also knew then, okay, here's how to go about it. So, Solomon, very good example of somebody, because he asked God for that too. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. I mean, that's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all that stuff. So, and James said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously without finding fault. So, if you lack it, ask it. He gives it. So, let's see here. Okay, faith, gift of faith, supernatural ability to believe God for something in a way that would otherwise be impossible for us to do. This type of faith enables a person to possess extraordinary confidence and assurance concerning the outcome or disposition of a specific event, issue, or situation. All right, characteristics, it's a temporary condition in the believer. So, it differs from other types of faith in that it says while, okay, I'll just read a little bit of here. The Bible talks about several different kinds of faith. While all of them have the same origin, God, they differ in their working. The first type of faith that relates to our salvation is Ephesians 2:8. This faith enables us to recognize and receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. It remains a permanent part of our spiritual life. Another type of faith mentioned in Scripture is the consequence of developed character and maturity. So Romans 1:5. This faith produces fruit of sanctification within our lives, but it is conditional, being dependent on a close relationship with Him. The gift of faith mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12:9 is a special faith that comes from the Holy Spirit. This faith is given as a supernatural demonstration of God's power. So again, different administrations, but the same Lord administering them to us. So everybody's been given a measure of faith. We have enough to come into Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith, and to in Him live, move, and have our being. But sometimes, like, this gift will emerge in somebody, like, for example, about being physically healed, or overcoming an adverse circumstance, or to deliver someone from extreme bondage to some kind of demonic activities, or for some specific ministry goal. So God will put something in your heart, just be like, you know what? Yes, you can feed 1,000 kids a day. And it'll be like, whoa, wait a second. You know, where did that come from? And it'll just be there. You have this trust, this belief, this something that God has put in you, and everybody else in the same situation will be like, no. You'd be like, yeah. So that's the difference. Okay. So, that's what's there. Then, gifts of power. Right. Let's see here. We have healing, working of miracles. Oh, I'm sorry. Special faith was gifts of power. Where did I go wrong? Discerning of spirits was... I'm sorry. Discerning of spirits was revelation. Discerning of spirits was supernatural ability of the Holy Spirit to give certain people to perceive the presence and or activity of spiritual entities and correctly identify their origins, whether they're from God or Satan. The person that with this gift can rightly differentiate between good and evil spirits. So it is a supernatural capability. Does not displace the need for people to be individually spiritually discerning, but it's something put in the body where, like, in the body when something's going on, like, oh wait, what was that? You know, that's not right, that's not on. And it can come in different forms of words, intuition, the actual sight. I remember one time a pastor was telling me, like this minister was telling me, he was at a meeting and there was a guy preaching. And while he was preaching, God spoke to this minister and said, they come as angels of light. And he's like, what? And God said it again. He says, they come as angels of light. And then he's looked at this guy that was preaching. He's like, he could see like wolf in sheep's clothing kind of thing. And then, but the same time he got that, this other pastor that he was with got the exact same thing as well. So they both were, and then they both looked over at this, so they both looked at this guy at the same time that was preaching. So it was a discerning of spirits that this guy is not one of God's protectional gift operating in the body of Christ. And so can distinguish between good and evil spirits. Alright, so that was revelation. Gifts of power, faith is one, special faith. Then miracles and healings. We'll close these out here. Okay, gift of miracles. Supernatural ability to perform acts that contradict natural laws, change physical properties, or disrupt the normal behavior and order of things. So, there's some characteristics. There's a temporary condition in the believer. Confirms the gospel message many times. So many times this will, the miracles will follow the preaching of the gospel. So there's a proclamation of truth followed by a demonstration of the power of God. It may include feats of divine judgment, you know, like Ananias and Sapphira, which is Acts chapter 5, or the blinding of Elimaeus, Paul's testimony where he's talking to the proconsul in Acts 13. It can also include defying natural law, like Peter raising Tabitha from the dead, or may include feats of deliverance and escape. So like God sending an angel twice to free Peter and then many of his companions from jail. Paul and Silas from prison. So these are miracles. Or feats of exorcism as well, or just like demons being cast out, power encounters. Then gifts of healing. Supernatural ability to cure illnesses and restore health to individuals set apart. Individuals apart from the use of medicines and or other natural means, includes restoration from physical, emotional, and spiritual sicknesses. So gift characteristics can be an ongoing anointing in some people, but other times God will just operate it in you. Some people have, you know, they just, people know them for a healing ministry or something, but again, something that the Spirit wills and the Spirit works. So, you know, maybe sometimes somebody will have that, they'll be, I'm just trying to think. Like Smith Wigglesworth. Do you know who he was? He's somebody that was known for this gift being an operation in him as a preacher. So he would preach the word, but very gruff guy, but powerful demonstration of the Spirit's power. And now people tried to mimic his techniques, so it didn't work. Didn't work, because it wasn't the techniques, it was the Spirit of God working it through him. Okay, there's more than one gift in that sometimes physical diseases, other times healing of emotional illnesses, sometimes people healed of spiritual sicknesses. People need to be healed in different ways, different cores of who they are. So it's not just people sometimes looking, okay, you know, they've got some digestive problem they need to be healed from. No, sometimes people have been tremendously damaged by this world and their life here, been emotionally scarred, something like that. And God works through people in amazing ways just to heal them. So, again, it's not under the control of the person exhibiting the gift. It's done by the Spirit. And it usually will produce immediate results, like many times with the healing, with physical healing. It takes a little bit longer, but again, it's just how the Spirit is working with the person receiving the gift. Because, it does not necessarily require faith by the one being healed. So the gifts are not always dependent on how much faith people exhibit towards God. So like Luke chapter 4, 38-39, Acts 3, verse 3-8. In many instances where the gift is demonstrated in the Bible, those being healed are non-believers and possess very little, if any, faith in the Lord. It's only after they're healed that their faith in Christ is revealed. So it's also closely associated with evangelism and it does not diminish the need for natural medicines.
It's not necessary, is it? I mean, like healing, does it have to be done through somebody, or can it be direct from God?
It can be direct from God. Again, see, the gifts work as the Spirit wills. But see, this is why, too, how sometimes, like, there was one pastor who was telling me the story, and this guy was watching television, and he was watching some healing meeting, and he was sick himself, and he was just very disgruntled about life and all that, and these guys were talking about them being healed and whatever, and he was just ticked, and he said, God. And then I think he said, blankety blank, why don't you just heal me? And just like that, God healed him. And he like got up and he's like healed. And so not necessarily that he recommends the blankety blank technique, but just to say that all of this operates by God, all of this operates by the Spirit of God working and moving it. He sometimes, many times, will use human agents to work these things, but other times too, when somebody calls out to him, he meets them right where they're at. So again, this is him doing it. So we're about out of time, so we'll just close it out with this and just saying that that everybody's different. You all have something different. Whatever the Spirit of God's put in you, allow him to begin to operate that and encourage you in the operation of that. If he inclines you to do something, trust him. And then see what happens too is as you act and you move and stuff, you begin to get familiar with it. So for example, God gives you a word for somebody, then the next time he gives you a word, it's like, okay, I remember how he kind of gave it to me last time. Feels similar. Or maybe it'll change the way, but you'd start getting familiar with the voice of how he speaks to you. So it's to your benefit to learn how to operate in gifts that he would operate with you, because he wants to use you. He wants for you to be on the adventure of life with him, where you would be part of what he's doing and not just a prop on the stage. You know, he wants you to be an actor in the script. He doesn't want you to be just a prop. Most of the people in this world are props. You know, they're just kind of there. But it's the true followers of Christ that are the ones that are living out the whole drama. So he wants to use you in that. So and see, sometimes too, you don't have to be able to define it. So God will just say, look, you know, go say this to this person. You don't have to know, is this a word of knowledge? Is this a wisdom? Is this prophecy? Is this what, you know, where does it fit within the... Well, it's good to know. It's not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. It's good to have understanding in the operation, but sometimes we don't know. That's okay. Just move with how the Spirit of God shows you. So sometimes he'll say, look, just go talk to this person and tell them God loves you. That's it. And you will walk up to that person and maybe their aunt died that day that they loved so much, and they're just completely broken about it, and they're just questioning everything about life, and you walk up to them and just say those, you know, three words. And it just, because the Spirit of God is on that, it cuts to the core of where they are, and God meets them with that, and you were the agent of that. And you may never see that person again. I can't tell you how many times I've been on flights, or in grocery checkout lines, or just traveling somewhere, or just day-to-day work. And he does that. Because see, the Spirit of God lives in you, and he knows what's going on around you. So with everything that's going on around you, you don't know, but he does. So he then says, okay, let me use you to accomplish this. And then afterwards, it's like, you may or may not know the results of it. You know, a lot of times you do, some of the time you don't. It's okay. Yours is just to operate and to do it and leave the results with the Father. It's not about us anyways, it's about him. Leave it all up to him, and then just be like, all right, Lord, I keep moving forward with what you're doing. So that's kind of the closeout for gifts. I know this is, we went spiritual gifts. we've gone through this quickly, relatively quickly. Part of it's been time, but also I think with this stuff, it's just you learn by doing as well. So you can, there's guys that would be able to tell you all of the Greek background and everything else like that, but they have never seen the operation of one of these things in their life. So whereas there's junkies that come off of drugs in 15 minutes, God is using them for to work powerful things. So it all it is a person being yielded to the Spirit. So again, with all this stuff too, the Spirit of God leads and guides us into all truth. So wherever you have a question, you say, God, I don't understand this, I don't know this, how do you work with this? Would you show me? Or, Lord, heal this person, or use me for whatever, or show me what gifts you've already put in me. You know, reveal that to me, and He will. And so with all of this stuff, you just, when we exercise what God puts in us, it's for the benefit of the entire body at large. And when we don't, it's everybody else in the body suffers. You know, so, you know, for example, too, like, yeah. Oh, we'll just stop here. We'll stop here. Do you want me to keep? Oh, you want me to use the example? Okay, I'll give you the example. No. For example, you know, with these small meetings that we have, just even like now, you know, I have a very good friend, brother in Christ, in the States that, you know, that takes these messages and posts them online. And if he, because he does what he does, it has far more reach, and it's there for, in 3 months from now, people are checking stuff. People are checking stuff from, you know, when we first started posting things. They're starting to go through stuff. So it's like, because he operates in his gift, which is he understands stuff about, I have no idea, you know, about you know, how to computers and JavaScript and webs and all that. I don't know. I don't understand this stuff. He does. He's got a gift by God in that area, also a gift of service and helps, and so he's naturally wired that way. Because he does what he does, and we work together on something, what I do is taken and multiplied so many more times, and if he didn't do his part, or if I didn't do my part, other people would miss out. So I don't need to be a web programmer. I don't need to understand that stuff. All I need is to be in a place where I'm in connection with the Spirit of God, and I do what it is that God gives me to do, and then hand it off to somebody else in the Spirit that is in connection with the Father. Priyan, you know, another example, her cousin, because he fulfilled God's plan and purpose with his own life, and he passed away. But stuff that he did, part of what his ministry was even while he was alive, carries on even now.
Thanks to you. Well, essentially, he passed away last year, he's only 27, and he's very close to the Lord. I was speaking to someone the other day, and he said to me, we're only here, like, obviously we're here temporarily, but sometimes when you think, yeah, your purpose is to actually fulfill that complete assignment, but it's not. It's, I think it's as simple as just planting the seed. And that's still an important accomplishment. And thanks to Govinda and Deepak, who are doing this radio program now. So they're playing this music, which he started on his own, which only the family knew about. And, you know, he used to give the gospel to, like, beggars on the street, and we only found out after he passed away. So it's amazing how now you've come into the picture. It's like someone else is continuing
But see, even with that too, I'm not here for very long. See, I know that as well. I'm not, this world is not my home. So I'm not planning for, like, okay, 90 years here and let's have happily retired. No, this world is not, this, and And I'm so glad too, because this world is not, it's not a place I want to, you know, this is not it. Life in the spirit, the dimension of spirit, the Father, that's our desire.
But we'll see how God's plan is still fulfilled.
It will be. See, that's why too, if you stay true to the Father, if you stay true to His plan and purpose for you, nothing will be lost. Nothing's lost in Him. So nothing is lost with Him. So if you stay true to Him and you walk your life out with Him, there that you will, your purpose, your assignment, His plan and purpose for you will be completed. Because you will have played the role that the Father had for you. And it's not the quantity of your life, it's the quality. Jesus did not have a very long life in the world. Prion was 27, Jesus was 33. But, I mean, what a life. So, may God say that about all of us when our lives are done here too. What a life.